to be here at Union Church. I was so excited. I don't get to come here except second Sunday now, and Zoom service on Wednesday night. But when Brother James announced at the end of Zoom service Wednesday night that we'd be having lunch at church, we'd be having communion afterwards, I was very excited. I thank this church for changing communion to the second Sunday so I can be here and commune with you. I've been in one communion service in the last 16, 17 months. And that one is just, we weren't able to have church up at Chunky, and because of COVID issues within the church. And that particular fourth Sunday, I went down to Tylertown to be with my brother down there, and it was communion day. And that was either September or October of last year. So I look forward to that service this afternoon. But it's been a good service this morning. The singing was good. Brother Joe, I appreciate so much the things you called our attention. And now I covered an interest in your prayers the time that I stand before you. Yeah, Brother Joe, you're right. I've told many people across the years, you know, to have Karen back, I would live in an abandoned school bus. I really would. And, you know, I had one of my childhood heroes with Pistol Pete Maravich. You know, he'd be embraced in that song, "Thus Far the Lord Has Led Me On," and the lyrics in there that says, "Much of my time has run to waste, and I perhaps am near my home. But he forgives my folly's past and gives me strength for days to come." He wasted a lot of his life. He was a very famous individual, but born again of the Spirit of God. I read his book, and he said he heard the voice of God. And if you tell me you've heard the voice of God, I'm not going to discredit your experience. I can tell you that. But one of his quotes that I've kept in memory many times is, "Seek success and happiness in the world, and you'll never find it. Seek the wisdom and obedience of Jesus Christ, and happiness will find you." I remember one time that David, because of his desires of the flesh, I heard a man tell me one time that, you know, given the wrong set of circumstances, most of us are capable of almost anything. That's scary, Brother James. In your prayer this morning, you talked about that. There's been times in my life where I know I've dishonored the one that came and shed his blood for me at Calvary. That grieves my heart to know. But you remember the time David, after that happened with Bathsheba? You remember when he cried out, "Lord, restore unto me thy salvation." Nope. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." What would you trade this morning for the joy of your salvation? The earnest expectation that one day when the trials of this life is over, that the Son of God is going to do exactly what He said He would do. He'd come back and get those that He bought with His precious blood and take us home to be with Him in glory. You know, again, I covered an interest in your prayers this morning. The time I stand before you, I trust this will be a benefit to you. This morning, I'm a little reluctant to go this direction because I don't want to be like Brother Sonny Piles. I've heard him say before, he's heard ministers preach a skyscraper story. A skyscraper sermon, just one story after another. This morning, though, I think it'd be a benefit to us. A lot of you have your phone number. Some of you I don't, but if you are one of those that follows the social media world of human interest stories, and I invite you to share them with me. Yesterday, Sister Debbie Conley shared one. We had a memorial service for Sister Elaine Lee up at the church. I serve at Chunky, and Brother Ricky went with me to lead singing for us. And he shared it with me that there was a man that was cutting grass with two prosthetic legs, pushing a mower. The guy rode down past his house, saw him in the yard, and felt compelled to turn around and go back, and just to tell him what an impact you made on me this morning. And he said, "The funny thing is, this is not my yard. This is my neighbor's yard. He's been sick, and I'm cutting grass for him." You know, this book tells me without faith it's impossible to please God. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "Now abideth these three: faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. So charity is greater than faith, which is required to please God. And charity must be extremely important. I'm reminded, I've used this example, this illustration here before. When I was, many years ago, I was driving a bus right there in my neighborhood, right where I live now. And there's a Harrison Lane right beside my house, a gravel road. It's about a mile and four-tenths long. And I live right in the corner of it. On the other corner, when you get to the other end of it, at Springfield Trail, Mr. Billy Rippey used to live there. Mr. Billy didn't have any legs. Both legs had been amputated. We'd go by there on that school bus, and he'd be out there in a red radio flyer wagon, propelling himself with his arms. And you know, it's not lawful to stop a school bus where it's not a designated stop. I broke the law time and time again at Mr. Billy's house. He'd be out there in that garden, and I wanted to see it, and I wanted the children on my bus to see it. They'd have a visual image of this man and how determined he was to, despite his circumstances in life. You know, Brother Joe mentioned this morning that Sister Eudora, what a burden she's been under. But you know what the Lord said? Come to me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. I love what Brother Sam Bryant said about that one night, I think out of Mount Gilead, somewhere I was able to hear him preach. And you know, there was a time when we wanted the members of our church to have a great knowledge of Scripture. And he said, hey, you don't believe that's scriptural. All you have to have is to join the church, I believe, is the desire to seek His face and to put Him first, Brother Joe, to lift Him above. He deserves preeminence in all things. He's worthy of blessings and honor and all those things that we can give Him. But Brother Sam Bryant said, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Come on and join the church and then learn as you go. And that was such a good illustration that Brother Sam shared. And it's been a nugget of gold for me for a long, long time. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. One other I want to mention before I got to get in a hurry this morning a little bit, but Blaine shared with me this yesterday, and I needed it. I needed it. I've been down a little bit lately. Just this world we live in, it just beats you down, Brother Zach. May 30th that morning, Wayne Price passed away. I gave him great respect for Wayne and his wife, Donna. He'd been a paraplegic since 1998 and died at age 55 on May 30th. That night on May 30th, we had a school employee that retired the Thursday before, had a reception in the school library, died Sunday night, 3 days after she retired from almost 40 years of service to the Lincoln County Schools. On June the 2nd, there was a young girl from Murrah High School that graduated, got her diploma, and within 3 hours was shot at a service station and lost her life. The next day, June 3rd, and the little boy died on June the 4th, a lady in Canton, Mississippi, and her boyfriend left a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 2-year-old in a car. And the 2-year-old got her hands on a revolver and shot and killed the 9-year-old. But we live in sad, sad times. I had one of my former students, 30 years of age, who was buried yesterday. But Blaine shared this with me yesterday, and there was a lady on America's Got Talent by the name of Jane Marzuski. She was she's 30 years old, come out on stage to sing a song called It's Okay. And you could tell that her hair was regrowth from cancer treatment. She had lost all her hair. They asked her who was there for her performance. She said, I'm here by myself. If you can't take interest in your children, what can you take interest in? And she started singing a song called It's Okay. And that was really the story of her life for the last year and a half as she went through cancer treatment. She said, she told those judges and that audience there, she said, they gave me a 2% chance to live. But with a beaming glow on her face, she said 2% is greater than zero. She said, you can't wait for the hard to go away to decide to be happy. And then she said this. I'm going to read this to you if you'll bear with me just a second. This is what she said on that show. I've had cancer 3 times now, and I barely passed 30. There are times when I wonder what I must have done to deserve such a story. I fear sometimes that when I die and meet God, that He will say I disappointed Him, or offended Him, or failed Him. Maybe He'll say I just never learned the lesson, or that I wasn't grateful enough. But one thing I know for sure is this. He will never say that He did not know me. We'll look at Scripture for a little while this morning. The Lord being our helper. How do we get through the things in this life that we face? Pretty much everybody understands my voice is burdened in some way. And your problem may be different from mine, but yeah, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Put Him first, Brother Joe. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Then Scripture, in 1 Samuel chapter 14, we find Jonathan preparing to go to battle against those dreaded Philistines. And he told his armor bearer, said, let us go to prepare for battle against the Philistine garrison. And said, for you know, the Lord might work for us. He said, because there's no restraint on Him to save with many or few. He acknowledged that His power was in the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings to fight His battles for Him. There was a time in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 where Asa, great King Asa, what a great king he was. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he was facing a tremendous foe. The battle said the scripture said that Ethiopians had this many troops, 1,000 times 1,000. That'd take a real math scholar to figure out that's 1,000,000 soldiers. He realized he's outnumbered, and he says he begins to pray about it and said, "Lord, our power rests with Thee. We're going to fight this." And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. We're going to face this enemy in Thy name. But, he said, Thou art my God, and I ask You, I beg You, I plead with You, Lord, not to allow these men to prevail over Your people. And you'll find as you continue reading there in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 that the Lord routed the Ethiopians, and they fled from combat. Friends, the Lord is he's on His throne, and he will. There's no doubt in my mind. He's helped me through some great trials in this life, and He'll do it again. He'll do it again, and I trust I'll be just like this little girl from Ohio that's singing on America's Got Talent. That when we see Him though, she's wrong in this. He may be disappointed with us now. We may have offended Him now. We may have whatever else I said. We failed Him. No doubt we failed Him. Brother Wayne, I failed Him time and time and time again. Time and time again. But I believe when we see Him, all that will be in the rearview mirror. Because the Bible says He's going to bring the holy angels with Him. He's going to bring all the nations before Him. He's going to put the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. And to those on His right, He's going to say this, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And all those other things, I was hungry. I won't get into all this morning for time's sake, but He's going to tell those on His left, "Depart from me, for I never knew you. Depart from me, for I never knew you." This little girl says, "I don't believe I'm ever going to hear that I didn't know you. I've always known you." And it's amazing. It's an humbling thought when you think about all the people that have lived upon the face of the earth, over all the annals of time, that He still knows every one of His children by name. That just amazes me. I love the contemporary Christian song, "He Knows My Name." But go with me. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44, beginning in verse 21. "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for Thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. We know that we are part of the lot of the Lord's inheritance. Remember, he said in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10, he said this. He said, he talked about Jacob. He said, I found him in a wayfaring wilderness and led him about and instructed him and kept him as an apple of mine eye. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. It shall be inhabited. Judah and Jerusalem shall be inhabited. You remember, I tried to preach on this last weekend up at Antioch. Remember the judges? I encourage you to read the book of Judges this week. That's some good reading, Brother James. And they chose 12 judges of Israel. Now, four of them, it doesn't say much about them in Scripture at all. One by the name of Tola, one by the name of Jair, one by the name of Ibzan, and Abdon. You know, basically, I mentioned this yesterday at Sister Elaine's funeral. Basically, it says about them that they ruled as a judge in Israel. They begat so many sons and daughters, and they died. That's all it says about them. Did they do more than that? I hope so, but Sister Elaine did a lot between that. But there's a lot of it's written about it. And, you know, sometimes I've been in the school business all my life, so we acronym things to death. But what helps me remember the other eight judges of Israel is the acronym Jesse, like the father of David, and God, G-O-D. Jephthah, Ehud, Shamgar, Samson, Elon, Gideon, Othniel, and Deborah. You know, it said when Deborah was, this is what I really tried to preach on last week up at Antioch. When Deborah was, when she judged Israel, it says in chapter 5 of the book of Judges that in those days, in the days of Shamgar, and the Bible said that Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. I remember talking to Brother Jerry Britt about that one time and about what an ox goad is, and that was a bad man. That's about all it says about Shamgar as a judge. He killed 600 Philistines at one time with an ox goad. But it said in the days of Shamgar and Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the people traveled along the byways. It was unsafe to travel along the highways at that time. It says also in that scripture that the people of the villages ceased, and they ceased in Jerusalem. I looked up cease means stop moving. They stopped moving. You come out of the pandemic when we were kind of confined to our homes too much. That's the way they were because of the unsafeness. Think about the little girl that got shot at the service station, 18 years old, and life just snuffed out. And they don't have a motive. They don't have a suspect as far as I know. I haven't heard any more about it. But then it said that. But then Deborah became the judge. And she said, there rose up a mother in Israel. There rose up a mother in Israel. I'm thankful for the mothers in Israel who've been in this church, Sister Eudora, all the days of my life. That there was no doubt in our minds that this was a priority, and it should be. I can't tell you. I one time Brother Steve Woods said, Brother Mickey, you'd make a good youth minister. If that's all I can be, I'll take it. Because the Lord told Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. And what did he say first? Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. And he said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And my mom would tell me when she was little, that the old Sunday dinner at different times, so the family came together for a meal, the adults would eat first, and the children would go out and play until the adults got finished. I said, Mom, I'm glad I didn't do that in my, if they did that in my lifetime, I'd tell you it wasn't scriptural because he said, feed my lambs first. But you young people, this is so important. This is so important. Your service to your God. I feel like that song too, much of my time is run to waste. And I perhaps am near my home, but he forgives my folly's past and gives me strength for days to come. I love the lyrics in that song. It resonates with me because I've been guilty of that sometimes in my life. But I want to live my life in such a way that people would think that I think that me seeing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ one day depends upon what I do on the earth. It doesn't. I believe that I could leave this church this day and never come back into the church again. I'd have a miserable life. I know that. But I believe I would forfeit a lot of the joy of my salvation, friends, of thy salvation, excuse me, but because it belongs to Him. He just shares it with me. But, oh, I'd have a miserable life. Seek Him first. Call upon His name and build your relationships upon godly principles. Let me close this morning. He said, that confirmeth the word of His servant and performeth the counsel of His messengers. It saith to Jerusalem, I've already read this verse, thou shalt be inhabited. Let's skip down. That saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying in Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. I'll read a few verses into chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, if I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two leave gates, and the gates shall not be shut. We're talking about Babylon here. You remember one of the saddest things in Scripture to me is in Psalm 137, verses 1 through 4. It says, you know, when we were in captivity in Babylon, it said, we sat down by the rivers of Babylon and we wept when we remembered Zion. They were in a God-forsaken land and they were homesick for that country. You know, I tell you, before I worked on the shrimp boat when I was in college, my brother, my cousin-in-law, I guess you'd call him, that had to, his boat note was $900 a month. We worked every day of the week. I promise, I got out in the Gulf of Mexico and I didn't know what day of the week it was. I couldn't even tell you. And I didn't go to church that summer because I worked day after day after day. Made good money, but I was homesick. I was ready to come to the church service and be a part of the assembly of God one more time. But those leave gates were gates that had ornamental leaves on them. And they left them open. The Lord pressed this to happen and opened the gates. You know, I mentioned there in Psalm 137. Said, yeah, we sit down by the rivers of Babylon and we wept when we remembered Zion. When we remembered the church. We remembered the life we had in Israel. Is the chosen people of God, friends. He said, you know, those that took us captive required of us two things. They required of us mirth. And mirth is one of those words. I like studying the meaning of words, but mirth is one of those words that mirth seems like a dreary word to me, but it means great happiness, jubilation. Said, you may be homesick, but when you're around us, you put a smile on your face. You act like you're happy, and it required of them a song. So sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they said, how can we sing the song of our Lord in a strange land? You know, they were brokenhearted. They were downcast. But as that Jane Marzuski said, don't wait for the hardship to pass to desire to be happy, to make up your mind that, oh, friends, it's going to be good. Brother David Montgomery said he's read this book. And we all do live, the ones that elect family of God do live happily after, ever after. This book has a good ending to it. It ends with the triumphant return of the Son of God. He said, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou may know us that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, art the God of Israel. I studied that the other day. Brother Joe, it takes some study to come before the Lord's people. We need to commit ourselves to study during the week in prayer and meditation. That we may feed the lambs and the sheep of God's pasture when it comes our time to speak to the congregation. But I've heard two things. This is being like Nebuchadnezzar. This is his treasures. that they'd open unto them in Babylon. But also I've heard, and I like this mindset as well. You remember there in John chapter 4 when the Lord went to the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. And he went there and had an interaction with a Samaritan woman. He was king of the Jews and she was a Samaritan woman. They weren't supposed to interact with each other by law and by tradition of the Jews. But when his disciples had gone into town to buy food, came back, they saw him talking to the Samaritan woman. They were confused. And then she left. And they were concerned about it. They said, "Master, what dost thou eat?" He said, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." And he said, "My meat is this, to do the will of my Father, the one that sent me." I believe that has something to do with things with treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. "For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by my name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." I have surnamed thee. God has surnamed us. You know, I got the name Myers. I had to get that name. That one was already cut and dried before I was born. But the Mickey DeWayne, that came by my parents there. They said, "I've given you my name. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee." Brother Mark Richards mentioned about this Friday night at Mount Gilead. "I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil." And we have to be careful of that, with that create evil, because the Lord does not create evil. But he suffers things to pass. He suffers sometimes the destruction and the devastation and punishment for our sins, because we know the Lord says, "Whom the Lord loveth, he scourgeth, and he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I, the Lord, to do all these things." And I'm going to close this morning. You know, in over Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, there's a Jewish lawyer that stands up to try to tempt the Lord, and he says, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He says, "What does the law say?" He said, "To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." He said, thou hast answered right. This do and live." He said, "Who is my neighbor?" And the Lord began to tell him an account. He said, a certain man went down to Jericho. From Jerusalem unto Jericho, it's about a 7-mile road and a very dangerous road at this time, and fell among thieves who stripped him of his raiment and left him half dead. I've heard Brother Wayne Myers say, I don't know exactly what half dead is, but that brother's in pretty bad shape. There was a priest came by and passed on the side of the road and didn't even look upon him. There was a Levite that came by and looked upon him and continued walking on that other side of the road. And then there was a certain Samaritan that stopped by and had compassion upon him. And the Bible says he poured wine and oil into his wounds to soothe and as an antiseptic to heal. Put him upon his own beast and took him to an inn and kept him, took care of him overnight. The next day he had to move on. But he said, "I'm going to leave you 2 pence. He told the innkeeper, "I'm going to leave you 2 pence to take care of this fellow. Let him stay here to heal a little bit more." And he said, "You know, when I come back through, if I owe you more, we'll take care of it." Why does a man with prosthetic legs take a push mower and cut his neighbor's grass? I believe because he's been born of the Spirit of God. Brother James Isaac mentioned it the other night. He said it didn't take long for him to encounter a person to where he's convinced that they're a child of God. It doesn't take long. You know a tree by the fruit it bears. You know, when he asked him, he said, "Which one was a neighbor under the man that was attacked?" And he didn't say the Samaritan. He said the one that showed him mercy. He couldn't bring it within himself, even as a Jew, to even say, give credit to a Samaritan as a hero of the story, so to speak. The Lord is a hero of the story, Brother Doug. He's a hero of every story, because we're not capable of doing good unless the Lord be with us and inspire us and guide us. He said, "Go and do thyself likewise." Let's remember, friends, that now abideth these three: faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this morning. I trust if you've got anything what I tried to preach, you give the Lord to pray all praise, honor, and glory for it. Just do Him. And continue to pray for me, Brother James, Brother Joe, all of our ministers in our churches, Brother Luke, all the ones that are overseers of our flocks. Pray that we'll have greater wisdom and understanding of God's Word, because you made a commitment to be here this morning. You made a commitment to be here. This world will Brother Hunter, it'll tell you to go do something else on Sunday. Somebody could be in Starkville today watching baseball, you know, not in the church. But you've occupied this seat, and I think it's incumbent upon us as the elders in the church to study to show ourselves approved unto God, to work with the needed, not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And pray that when you do make this commitment to be faithful to the kingdom that will come, this kingdom, Brother Joe, that we'll be able to preach to you. We'll give you something to be a benefit to you. And I trust it has been. If not, again, you attribute that to Mickey. But we love you for Christ's sake and look forward to being with you at lunch and communing with you after lunch. May God bless you. It's our prayer this morning.